We're in an interesting dialogue inside ourselves. I was teaching last year at St. John the Divine Cathedral in New York City. And it was a course on working around helping and serving. And there were about 200 or 300 of us in the course, and all of us were required. It went on for about 7 sessions, 14 weeks. All of us in the course were required to volunteer to do some service around homelessness in New York City, either a soup kitchen or a shelter or a political action around fair housing practices or real estate developers or whichever one. However you felt you uniquely wanted to play, but you had to do something, and you kept a diary, and then we had an open microphone. And people could share what they were putting in the diary. And one woman said, I'm working in a soup kitchen. I don't remember whether she said soup kitchen or shelter. She says, that isn't really what I want to talk about, what's in my diary. What's in my diary is that for the past year or so, every time I leave my apartment, when I go to the corner to the store or to the bus, there is the same man quite often begging on the corner with a paper cup. He's the kind of local homeless person. And she said, for the past year, I've been giving him a quarter sometimes and sometimes not. And she said, I'm a little embarrassed to say it, but I basically have a budget for him, like $2.50 a week. It's like a user's tax for middle classness. If you want to use middle class, you got to pay a tax. She said, but I, as a result of this course, I realized that I had never acknowledged his existence as a human being. She said, I saw that I was afraid. And I asked myself, what am I afraid of? I'm not afraid he's going to rape me. It's daylight. I'm not afraid he's going to steal my pocketbook. After all, we've known each other for a year. And she said, I kept looking, and I suddenly realized that I was afraid that if I acknowledged him, he'd end up living in my house with me. What she was saying was that if I opened my heart to this other human being, how would there be boundaries? Because the quality of the deepest heart is boundarylessness. I mean, when you're in love with somebody, when you're in love with them, where are the boundaries? You want my car? Take it. You need my house? Take it. Want my time? Of course. What? But the mind, on the other hand, that has a different function. The mind is there as the computer central for your spacesuit for this incarnation. Its job is to keep you surviving as a separate entity, keep you from embarrassment and destruction, psychologically and physically. So when the heart goes to give away the store, the mind says, now wait a minute, you have your health insurance coming due in 2 days. So this woman was saying that the way that she was handling being part of the haves in an increasing ocean of have-nots was by making her heart her enemy and closing down her heart to more and more people who became them instead of us. And I'm sure she felt that she had her heart very open to her children, to her husband and to her families, and her friends, her personal friends. But there's an incredible, interesting cost in closing down the heart at any time for anything. Because the heart isn't just, I mean, there's all these, the word heart is a funny word. We really are slobs the way we use language. Because you don't know whether I mean the anatomical heart. You assume I'm not, because I'm not here giving a medical lecture. Well, I might mean the emotional, relational heart, because that's what romantic poetry is about. And that's sort of what most people mean when they talk about heart. But then behind that, there's another thing, another, forget the word thing, strike it. There's another, which the Chinese call the sin sin, for example, H-S-I-N dash H-S-I-N. Which means the heart-mind. It's the space, not of loving, but of love. It's the space not of becoming, but of presence. It's the space of no boundaries. So it's the space in which you grok everything, for example, in the Heinleinian sense. Because you are everything. It is your subjective doorway into the universe. And as such, it is a doorway through which sustenance is fed to you. Because you are connected to the source, which is all of it. That's the root through the source. In Hinduism, they call it the Atman. You can call it the Christ consciousness or the Buddha mind, or, you know, you can pick it whatever you want. The garden of Allah.